The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The NBA trade deadline has come and gone, and we are going to be breaking down all of the biggest fantasy basketball winners and losers on today's podcast. Let's go!
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! AD Bonzibar!
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter at Ball Boys Fantasy. And today we are recapping the NBA trade deadline, which came and went today. Wasn't able to do a live show. Seems like that was a very popular thing this year. But we are here to give a condensed look at the, I guess, the winners and losers and all of the fantasy basketball fallout that was the NBA trade deadline. So we're going to get stuck into it. I want to start the show by first saying, apologize that the videos and podcasts have been a little bit fewer and farther in between these days. Especially for the weekly preview shows, they will be coming back. The past few weekends, which is when I normally would record those, have been busy with some other things going on over in my life here, but they will be coming back, and they will definitely be back for the fantasy basketball playoffs. We've been doing the review shows of the industry pickups, both on my podcast and YouTube channel, but also over on Kingy's and Fantasy Basketball International's channel. So still doing those at least once a week. And there will be some more shows coming, especially when the Fantasy Basketball playoffs come up. So don't go anywhere. But yes, apologize again for the, infrequency of uploads. But we're going to get stuck into the NBA trade deadline. And overall, just before we get stuck into the actual deal, so overall, I don't know if there's a huge a lot to take away from this year's NBA trade deadline. Normally, there's at least one, two, three guys that present themselves as must-add players. I think for the most part, in most leagues that are fairly active and switched on, a lot of the guys that are benefiting from the deals that happens today or yesterday, by the time you listen to this podcast, they're probably already rostered, but just in case, we will go through them and discuss who is a must-add player. There's a few maybe speculative ads, but they are really just that. My hopes and, I guess, expectations is not super high, but there are maybe some guys that you can take a punt on if you have a bit of dead space at the end of your roster. But let's get stuck into it. I'm going to bring up on the screen here over on YouTube all the deals that have gone down, starting with the February 8th deal. So the deals that were made on the NBA trade deadline, we won't be covering some of the trades that happened previously because obviously we've had a chance to see a bunch of those. So starting with the first deal that happened on the day, which is nothing super exciting, but the Pistons, who were very busy on trade deadline day, they traded Kevin Knox, a future second round pick, the rights to Gabriel Procida, who I believe was a second round pick for them, playing overseas, for Simone Fontecchio. And a few people are sort of asking the question if he's an ad, and he could be. I don't think he's a very high upside ad. I think the most realistic way to view him is he's probably a three-point streamer. That was clearly a focus for the Detroit Pistons in today's deadline, getting a lot of shooting onto their team, get a lot of young shooters, and Fontecchio kind of fits the bill there. But Yeah, I mean, he's not super young, actually. He's 28 years old. So he can come in, he can shoot some threes, maybe hit a couple. There was some flashes earlier in the season that he put up some decent numbers with some assists and steals, but I don't think on this team that is really going to be his role. So you can have a grab. I think he's more of a 14-team league guy, 16-team league guy for 12s. He's a streamer, I think, on low-volume days, but that's about it. I'm not super excited. Obviously, Kevin Knox, I'm not worrying about him. And, yeah, Gabriel Procida, yeah, we don't care about them. So pretty boring deals. Simone Fontecchio, I'm not super excited. I think you could probably do better with that roster spot in standard leagues. The next trade, really nothing to see here. Corey Joseph goes to the Pacers. Some picks get swapped around. We don't care for fantasy basketball. Daniel House, similar sort of thing, going to the Detroit Pistons. He is, I think, going to be more of a depth piece. Again, shooting is their focus, but I don't think he's going to see much time over there. So, yeah, again, nothing really to see here. Continuing on, this one here is a little bit more interesting with the Raptors acquiring Kelly Olynyk from the Utah Jazz. The Raptors get Olynyk, Ochai Agbaji. The Jazz receive Otto Porter Jr., Kira Lewis Jr., and a 2024 first-round pick. So the fact that the Jazz got a first-round pick for Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji is very interesting. I mean, I don't think I would have given that up for those two players if I was the Raptors, but Kelly Olynyk, he can be interesting. At the moment, or he has been playing at the backup center, power forward sort of a spot. So I think, first of all, this helps consolidate the floor and the value of someone like a John Collins, a Walker Kessler, or get that floor boosted up because sometimes they might have conceded minutes to someone like a Kelly Olynyk because he was a decent player and their rotations were a little bit messy. I mean, it had been better recently, but I do think that just helps them from getting those low minute games sprinkled in there that sometimes does happen. So I think they get a slight boost because Otto Porter Jr. is not going to come in and take their minutes. But on the Raptors side of things, some people are a little bit excited for Kelly Olynyk, and he can put up decent numbers in a limited minutes role. I don't really think that it's going to be enough to be consistent standard league value. Again, probably more likely to be someone that's a 14 or 16 team league guy. He'd be very back end 12 team, so definitely that stream type value. But I will be watching to see what his minutes are like and if maybe this does affect someone like a Jakob Poeltl, who from time to time can be a player that sees a lower amount of minutes. I'm not doing anything crazy or anything like that, but it'll be interesting to see how much they use him, whether they value his spacing over a Poeltl. Sometimes they do like to play smaller down the stretch as well. Maybe they don't have to this time with a Kelly Olynyk. So this might be a bad thing for a Jakob Poeltl. All in all, I think it will be a very similar role for Kelly Olynyk playing at Toronto as he was for the Utah Jazz, where he played 20 and a half minutes over there, and he's a 152nd ranked player. I think it'll be pretty similar in Toronto, with maybe the slight chance if they prefer to use him a bit more over Jakob Poeltl. So again, you could speculate and add him. I don't think it'll be huge. More of a watch list guy for me in 12s. In 14s and 16s, you could take the punt and see what happens there. As for Ochai Agbaji, he's bad. He will continue to be bad. We don't have to worry about him. He's not a good fantasy player. The Bucks trade Robin Lopez to the Kings. Literally no relevance whatsoever. This next one is an interesting one. So the Mavs acquire big man Daniel Gafford from the Wizards. They trade Rashawn Holmes and a 2024 first round pick via the Thunder. And this is one of those trades where it's kind of all losers. So the Mavs getting Daniel Gafford really hurts the value of a Derek Lively II. Now, I don't think, and I tweeted this out, I don't think I would be dropping either Gafford or Lively just yet. Now, it is a bit annoying at the moment because Derek Lively is out, and he has been out the last few games, so it might be a little while before we have a concrete answer of how this actually shapes out from a minutes rotation point of view. I do think this will be a bit of a minute split, though. So the way I see it is I still think that Lively will start. I think that he is their center of the future, and I still think he's going to be getting some decent enough playing time. In a points leagues, you can go ahead and absolutely drop both of these players. But in a category leagues, depending on your need for rebounds, field goal percentage, and blocks, these guys still will provide that. I do see it more as like a maybe a 25-23-minute split. Maybe in that amount of time, Lively can do something, and Daniel Gafford is a foul-prone player, so there can be still nights where Lively goes off. But overall, it does hurt both of these players, and it would not surprise me if both of them do end up being drops, especially as we get closer to Fantasy Basketball playoffs, and you've got to make those last roster spots streaming spots. But for now, I'm just holding and just waiting to see it out, but I think it is a negative for both of them. On the Wizards side of things, the biggest beneficiary player is probably someone like a Marvin Bagley. I did tweet out about Rashawn Holmes. Since reflecting on it, people pointed out to me he's bad, and he is bad. I know that. If both Rashawn Holmes and Bagley were getting the same amount of minutes time, Rashawn Holmes would 100% be the ad. He's a better fantasy player. But it's probably more likely that Bagley gets the majority of the minutes. So from a winner's point of view, Marvin Bagley is probably one of the biggest winners of today's trade deadline. Although, again, I don't really see the huge amount of upside when it comes to Marvin Bagley's fantasy game. He also is out at the moment with a lower back contusion, so I don't know what they're going to do if he doesn't play their next game. But anyway, he figures to be someone that if you need rebounds, points, maybe he can get you a block per game. He's never really been a great shot blocker, solid field goal percentage. He will just give you absolutely zero in the assists, steals, no threes. He's a very empty fantasy basketball player. Much better points league. So in a points league, I do think he's going to be a must-add guy. In a category league, I'm less bullish on him being someone that you have to go and add. But he is probably someone that, if you're really looking for some kind of just more consistent back-end value, he could maybe provide that with the caveat that is not a very high upside. In deeper leagues, I think you can try Rashawn Holmes. I mean, they've got no centers on this team. Literally, it's Bagley and it's him. They're going to play small a lot, so it might amount to nothing. In fact, it probably would, but I'd at least just be keeping an eye on it. But yeah, it's all in all, it's a pretty annoying trade for fantasy's purposes because Gafford and Lively both probably get hurt, and the biggest winner is Marvin Bagley, who I just don't think it's very good, and he's definitely not a fantasy player at all there. So, yeah, that one's not the best and most exciting trade there for us. The next trade, the Blazers add Delano Banton from the Celtics, and the Celtics get a second-round pick. Yep, literally don't matter for fantasy basketball at all. But this next one doesn't matter for fantasy, really, but I am ecstatic that my Celtics added Jaden Springer for a second-round pick. One second-round pick for Jaden Springer. I had him as a lottery-grade talent in his draft year, and I stand by that. He is still exceptionally young. He's 21 years old. He looks like a defensive menace when he's out there. He hasn't really had many opportunities at all at Philadelphia, but he is so young, and he is still someone that I believe in as a solid rotational, maybe even a starting player in the NBA. Now, in fantasy, it's not going to mean anything this season because he's clearly behind players like Drew Holiday, Derek White. I believe he can surpass someone like a Peyton Pritchard in the rotation. He's obviously a defensive-first guy. So in deep leagues, in dynasty leagues, I still like Jaden Springer. When I say deep leagues, I'm talking like 30-team leagues and things like that, 20-team leagues. But in a dynasty league, I'm still holding on to Jaden Springer. I still think he's solid. Maybe it's a bit of a buy-low situation for Jaden because I do believe eventually he's going to be a solid player, and I hope that the Celtics can keep him on the roster for a good while. And we've seen recently his steal and block rates come out, even in limited minutes. He's a very good fantasy player, and I think he's a really good player in actual NBA as well. So doesn't affect our redraft leagues, but I'm ecstatic that that happened for my Celtics. The Mavs and Thunder swap first-round picks. So the Mavs get the earlier pick, Thunder get the later pick. Interesting. Obviously no relevance for fantasy basketball. The Bucks traded Patrick Beverley for Cameron Payne and a 2027 second round pick. extremely irrelevant for most fantasy basketball leagues. This next one has a bit of ramifications here. The Raptors receive Spencer Dinwiddie, which I believe they are going to waive, and he is going to be one of the players that joins a contending team as a free agent. So he'll be going into that buyout kind of market, which I don't love as a thing, but he will be doing that nonetheless. And the Nets receive Dennis Schroeder and Thaddeus Young. So a couple things here. Obviously, Dennis Schroeder was getting decent minutes for the Toronto Raptors. So this is going to open up more minutes for some of their players. Now, I don't know if there's a clear ad, but it does, in my opinion, really help a player like Scotty Barnes. Now, Scotty Barnes, they've gotten rid of... I'm blanking right now. They obviously got rid of Pascal Siakam. They've now gotten rid of Dennis Schroeder. The two biggest playmakers, OG Anunoby, like their starting lineup has been absolutely just sent away. Scotty Barnes is their guy. Now, they've gotten, obviously, players like Emmanuel Quickley, RJ Barrett, Bruce Brown, and Kelly Olynyk back, and they could all playmake a little bit, but this is undoubtedly Scotty Barnes' team, and he is going to be the primary playmaker, the primary ball handler for him, and I think that is where his value can be its highest. So, I do believe that this is a good return for Scotty Barnes with the fact that Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be waived. So I think he is a decent winner. And I think this helps players like an Emmanuel Quickley. Bruce Brown obviously was someone that was being talked about getting traded. He stays here. I think this helps him a little bit as well so he can get some playmaking responsibilities. Someone who I'm watching without a whole great deal of hope, more a deeper league watch, but Grady Dick is someone that I think for deeper leagues we should keep our eye on, because obviously you're losing a couple of rotation players, you're getting Spencer Dinwiddie and then waiving him. It's just something to watch. Obviously, you still have players like Gary Trent, you've got players like RJ, Emmanuel Quickley, Bruce Brown, all still kind of making it hard for him to be worthwhile. I'm not worried about Ochai Agbaji, and Kelly Olynyk, I don't think, really impacts Grady Dick. So I think Grady Dick just steps up a little bit more in terms of the pecking order. He's only been playing 14 and a half minutes. Maybe this can get into the low 20s. It's not enough for...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Standard leagues, but again, in deep leagues, I'll be watching Grady Dick to see if he can maybe just, you know, step his game up a little bit and have a bit more of an impact to close out the season, where I don't think the Toronto Raptors are going to be challenging too much down the end of the year, and it's clearly very much a rebuild over in Toronto at the moment. Let's move on to the next trade. A lot of players swapping teams here, so the next trade for Bojan Bogdanovic and Alec Burks from the Pistons, and the Pistons get back Evan Fournier, who they will waive, Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, Ryan Archidakano, that is terrible. I know I should be able to pronounce that name a lot better. And two future second-round picks. Sorry, Ryan. I think, obviously, the biggest winner in this deal here, I think, is Quentin Grimes. He has some upside. Now, it might amount, again, it's probably one of those trades where it's more than likely going to amount to nothing. But if you have some dead roster space at the end of your bench, Grimes is someone that at least put on your watch list, but he might be worth a speculative ad. He's definitely a threes guy. He can get maybe a steal per game and give you a little bit of assists with some solid-ish percentages. But he was buried in the Knicks rotation. And if he comes out and plays as their starting small forward, I wouldn't be super surprised. There's something here with Quentin Grimes. He's a young player. What is he still? He is 23 years old. But I think if it were me coaching the team, and again, I have a lot of disagreements with what they've done over at the Detroit Pistons, so take this, obviously, with a massive grain of salt, I would be putting him in my starting lineup next to Cade and next to Jaden Ivey. I think he solves a bit of their spacing issues. He is someone that I think is a really decent defender. He has a bit more creation and ball handling upside. And he, you know, he can run, be like a secondary or tertiary playmaker when some of these guys go off the bench. So I like Malachi Flynn, Quentin Grimes, but obviously the additions that they also made in players like Fontecchio, like who else did they add? I think they added someone else before the deadline. Let me just double check. It wasn't a big name, but it was someone that I think should still play. Oh, dear me. I actually have him in my 30 team. Let's check that. Troy Brown is the guy I'm thinking of. So he came over from the Timberwolves or the Kings. I can't remember where he came from, but he is someone that he's 24 years old, can shoot as well. So they've addressed some shooting needs. So there are a few other guys there that did arrive, but you've lost Bojan, you've lost Alec Burks, two guys that were getting big minutes in their rotation. So the huge winner out of this is someone like a Jaden Ivey, who's been massively good the last two games. He is, of all the players we're going to talk about, he is still available on some rosters out there. So he is absolutely a must-add player in categories and points leagues. He is, I think, at the moment like 66% owned in Yahoo leagues, which is criminally low. Absolutely go and add him. I think most competitive leagues he will be on a roster, but in case he isn't, absolute must roster, go and add Jaden Ivey. I think this helps Asar Thompson because I think Bojan Bogdanovic going out, Grimes, Fontecchio coming back in, it's a slight net positive, but and I would add him if he's available just to see where it goes. We've obviously seen him be really good in minutes, but it may still end up being that the spacing issue is too much of a hurdle for him to get through in his rookie season. And obviously they have addressed a lot of that in a lot of these trades. So I'd add Asar Thompson if he's there, but be willing to drop him in a couple of weeks after the All-Star break if it is still not going very well, because obviously we're at that time of the year where we can't afford to wait. On the Knicks side of things, they're obviously just bringing these guys. OG Anunoby's injury was announced today that he's going to be out at least, I want to say, I think they said 3 weeks with elbow surgery. So those guys will have value, or at least especially Bojan will have value for a little while. So obviously you're holding for now if you have him in your squad. And you can kind of deal with it later if those minutes do come back. And I think he will be eventually a drop. But right now, obviously, I think you can just hold him and just hang on for as long as the value's there. But I think it is going to be eventually a net negative thing. And Alec Burks was a guy that you could have been streaming. I do think that he is someone you can drop now because he is just not going to get the usage and the quite the minutes that he was getting in Detroit there with their absolute need for his shooting on that Detroit team. It's not as valuable on the Knicks team where they've got some other guys that can space the floor. So I think that's how those trades shake out. I'm not expecting anything really from Malachi Flynn. He's just a bit of a depth piece there. Over to the next trade, the Spurs trade, McDermott to the Pacers. Nothing really to see here. Maybe it hurts someone like an Aaron Nesmith, but I would doubt it. I don't think he's going to be doing too much to affect those players. Spurs received Marcus Morris, who I also believe is being bought out. So obviously no impact there. The Thunder add Gordon Hayward from the Hornets. They give up Trey Mann, Davis Bertans, and Vasily Micic, and a couple of second-round picks. Gordon Hayward's obviously a bit of an upgrade for them. He is not someone I'm rushing to go and add. It's a worse situation for Hayward in the Thunder. Obviously, you've got players like Shea and Chet and Jalen Williams and Giddy. So he's really further down the pecking order than he was when he was in the Hornets when he was healthy. So he's not been really solid for the last little while anyway. So nothing really to react too strongly there. If you're in a deep league or a deep dynasty league, I, for whatever reason, maybe this is foolish, but I still have like a glimmer of hope for Trey Mann. I was kind of keen on him in his rookie season, and the situation at the OKC Thunder was really bad for him. He was stuck behind two guards that were clearly their franchise's future, and he was never going to get past some of those guys. On the Hornets, obviously, he's not getting past LaMelo Ball, but I don't know. There's a little bit of an opening there at shooting guard. Maybe he can play alongside. Maybe he can still be that sixth man. It's a long shot, and it's definitely more of a deep dynasty thing. But I still hold out a little bit of hope for Trey Mann that he does something. But it is fading. But let's hope and see if it happens here in a new destination. If it doesn't happen here, then maybe I was just wrong on Trey Mann. And I very much could be just wrong on Trey Mann. The Suns in the next deal, they get Royce O'Neal and David Roddy. Really interesting deal to get David Roddy there. I don't know if he actually does too much on the Suns here. Royce O'Neal will play, but he is not really a huge fantasy option, especially on a team like the Suns, because of the usage of those other big three players. The Grizzlies get a future pick swap, and Utah Watanabe, and the Nets receive three future second-round picks. So, all in all, it's a whole lot of just back-end guys swapping teams and picks, and it's nothing super exciting. So, in this deal, I'm not really adding a Royce O'Neal. I don't think this, you know, helps anyone really on the Nets. There's nothing big that changes, I think, in this one here. Oh, I should have mentioned actually before when we talked about Spencer Dinwiddie. So Spencer Dinwiddie leaving and Royce O'Neal leaving just also secures the floor for Cam Thomas. And once again, maybe he's one of the big winners at the trade deadline like he was last season. He's been playing pretty well with a couple of stinkers mixed in there recently. So chances are he is available, but he isn't available. But if he is, he would be someone that I'd add. Again, all the Cam Thomas warnings go out that he's a points, threes, free throws guys, doesn't do anything else. But obviously there is some use for that in most situations. The next deal, the 76ers trade for Buddy Hield, and the Pacers receive Furkan Korkmaz, Marcus Morris, and three future second-round picks. Now, Buddy Hield, I think this is a better situation for him. He should start whilst Melton is, I believe, still out with injuries, but when Melton does come back, I would think Melton plays over Buddy. It's also hard to tell what's happening with this team and how much they're going to be pushing with the Joel Embiid situation. So definitely Buddy needs to be rostered right now. If he's available, go and add him. The threes, the points, the free throw percentage, it's all solid. This could be a messy timeshare in the future when they're healthy, if they're healthy as well. So right now, he's definitely someone you want, and it's a better situation than in the Pacers. So we could be a big winner here for Buddy. I've never been a big Buddy fan, so I've always maybe a little bit down on him compared to others. So maybe there's a little bit of bias from me speaking here, and he could be a lot better than what I think he's going to be. But There's a few things still to shake out at Philadelphia. I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors that they're going to be basically picking up a Kyle Lowry off the buyout market, and there's a few moves still left to play with some of those older guys. So, still yet to be seen exactly how this roster is going to look for the back end of the season. But for now, definitely add Buddy if he is available, or hold on to him if you have him. I'm prepared that if and when some of these guys get back, that they're all going to kind of eat into each other's minutes, and they all will sort of be that back end, and no one's really going to be super valuable for fantasy purposes. For the Pacers, Furkan Korkmaz, I don't think it's going to come in and do too much. It does help some of your guys like an Aaron Nesmith, although he's more of a power forward, but just, again, someone who takes a lot of shots for the Pacers, has gone from the rotation. I don't think you're getting too much back. So he is still an absolute must-roster guy at this stage. So definitely, if he is available, and I'm looking right now, he is 59% rostered in Yahoo League. So get that up a lot higher. I don't know if this helps anyone else. Benedict Mathurin. So, yes, he is definitely someone you could have a look at, but he has his own issues. But it could be something that, again, he's a younger player. Maybe he just gets better. Maybe this helps his confidence with just another sort of roadblock out of the way. So a winner in this situation could be Benedict Mathurin. But he just still has his issues. So that's the thing with this trade deadline. It's like some of these guys, Bagley, Benedict Mathurin, they are winners, but they have a lot of holes in their fantasy game. So they should improve, but is it enough to make them must-roster players? I'm not 100% sure. But you could definitely take a flyer on Benedict Mathurin and see where this goes. I don't really think this affects TJ McConnell too much at all. It might help Andrew Nembhard, but again, similar story with Benedict Mathurin. Probably not enough while Tyrese Haliburton is healthy to be someone that we have to worry about in fantasy leagues. So it's just all a bunch of back-end over at the Paces outside of your Haliburton, Turners, and Siakams, and probably Aaron Naismith. Those top four guys are pretty comfortably well ahead of the rest of the group. But if I was to add any of them, it would be Benedict Mathurin and just see where it goes, knowing that he is limited in his fantasy game. The next and final trade we're going to go through here is the Mavs adding PJ Washington from the Hornets. They send Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a 2027 first-round pick. So PJ Washington was up and down, so I think this just helps his consistency, I would say, playing. I would assume he starts at power forward over for the Mavs next to, I believe, Derek Lively when the team is healthy. But playing alongside someone like a Kyrie and Luka, it will hurt a PJ Washington. He's not a huge defensive stat guy with those two having the ball in their hands a lot. The situation, I believe, is actually worse for someone like a PJ Washington. So he's not a guy that's going to really benefit a lot without the ball in his hands, and he's not going to rack up huge rebound and steal and block numbers. He can do a bit of everything. So I still think he's a hold, but it might not continue to be that way. He's 139th so far for the season. It doesn't take much for that to really drop away. Like I said, not a huge rebounder. He's less than a steal and a block per game. It's close to a steal and a block, but that's when he was doing a little bit of center, a little bit of power forward, whereas I think obviously Gafford and Lively there are going to take all the minutes of center. So he's going to be exclusively playing power forward there. So I really just don't I think it's probably actually a negative for PJ Washington. And Grant Williams, he's not someone that, even in 36 minutes, he's a huge fantasy basketball guy. So it's again, another one of those situations where it's a bit of a lose-lose. I don't think really anyone gains too much value here at all, really. It kind of just swaps hands, and it's a whole bunch of nothing. So those are the deals that went down in today's trade deadline. Overall, I think the biggest winners here, I think Jaden Ivey is a massive winner, and if he is available, you can go ahead and add him. Marvin Bagley is probably a decent winner as well, although, again, still limited in his game. Maybe Aaron Nesmith, who's already a must-roster player, but he wins a little bit. Someone like a Benedict Mathurin gets a bit of a bump. I'm watching players and speculatively adding guys like Quentin Grimes in deep leagues. I'm watching someone like a Trey Mann, more deep dynasty leagues. But overall, the losers, Derek Lively, Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington. It depends what happens with Spencer Dinwiddie or Cam Thomas is maybe a bit of a winner there, just with the consistency and less competition there for shots. So all in all, there's no real guy to go out and grab outside of a Jaden Ivey, who, if he's available, I don't know what you've been doing the last couple of games, with the Pistons going back-to-back wins, he should definitely be someone that is rostered. But outside of that, it's a lot of wait and see and speculative ads. So let me know down in the comment section, guys, below, if you have any questions, if there's someone available in your league that you're considering to add, jump in there and let me know. Give this video a big thumbs up. I will be back talking about the Industry Pickup League at the start of next week to go through my results there. It's getting close to playoff time. And then after the All-Star break, we'll be getting back into those weekly preview shows and also some other shows throughout the week to get you through your fantasy basketball playoffs and get you some wins in your league, guys. It's good to be back. Let me know down in the comment sections if you have any questions. And until next time, guys, I will see you later. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.